You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the G Family Performance Center in Edmond, Oklahoma, welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am your gracious and humble host, Derek G, saying thank you so much for making us a part of your day. And if you are not an OU fan and you are not from the state of Oklahoma, I want to tell you that I live in Edmond. And Edmond is the meeting place for OU and OSU grads. It's also a very popular place for Kansas and K-State grads and even a few Texas grads to live in. It's sort of a mini DFW where every Big 12 alumni seems to go to work. This is kind of close to it. So you're in the heart of Big 12 country, or at least that's where this podcast is coming to you from. And on today's show, we have got what I think might be our best show to date coming up, because yesterday was defensive media availability. And inadvertently, we now have our second benchmark as part of the Locked On Sooners podcast, where Wednesday will be dedicated to the defense. I need to come up with a name for it. I think Defensive Wednesday sounds too much like you're going to court, but in the media breakout sessions, when you get this availability, whether it's on Monday with the offense or Tuesday with the defense, I feel that's where you get the best nuggets of information, because guys are more relaxed. They're not wearing a university-issued polo, which is handed to them by Mike Houck before they go in front of the media, on which they do on Monday. And Mike Houck is the SID at OU. They're not behind a podium. They've practiced, they've showered, and even though there's cameras and microphones shoved in front of their face, it just feels like the guard is let down more. And they're more open to tell you things that maybe they wouldn't in what a more formal setting is. And you're going to get to hear that in segment number two with Curtis Bolton, who talks about his relationship with Mike Stoops, which was one of the most insightful things I've heard from a long time from a college player. And in a sense, it was kind of touching. You know, not to get all girly on everybody, but it was kind of touching to hear what Curtis Bolton had to say. So that's segment number two. And I'm going to go ahead and keep it out of order and tell you that in segment number three, since today is Lincoln Riley's birthday, I'm going to give you some hints on how you should go out and celebrate. Just because it's his birthday doesn't mean you shouldn't take part in the spoils. And I have some ideas on that. It's up to you whether or not you want to follow them. If you do, I guarantee you'll have a good time. Also in segment number three, Mike Stoops does have a relationship with Chip Kelly, even if Lincoln Riley doesn't. It comes from Mike Stoops' time when he was head coach at Arizona and Chip Kelly when he was at Oregon. So you get to hear that, which, again, I mean, stuff you wouldn't normally hear, I think, just in normal settings. But Mike, very complimentary of Chip Kelly. And then in segment number one, since we're going this out of order like Jed the Fish does, we're going to talk about moving Caleb Kelly to outside linebacker and how that kind of correlates to some decisions that still need to be made at OU. And coaches, after seeing the game film, not satisfied with OU's performance, and why Mike Stoops agrees with one of the readers of my column on OU Insider. All that's coming up today on Locked On Sooners. I'm Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000, KTOK in Oklahoma City. Members of the iHeartRadio family, I am the co-host of Saturday Game Day with Randy Renner. You can hear that at 9:30 every Saturday morning on 1340 The Game and at 5 a.m. on KTOK, and at different times all around the state of Oklahoma via the Oklahoma News Network. And because the Locked On Podcast Network likes me to tell you things like this, I'm a credentialed member of the media. I've had the privilege of covering OU now for 4.5 years, is what I'll call it. And I've loved every minute of it and grew up a lifelong OU fan, and I am an OU grad. So yes, I do bleed crimson and cream, even if I haven't always liked every decision that the school and the athletic department have made. I still am very loyal to OU. And I can name all the sitting presidents. I don't know if that helps me talk sports, but it's just something that I've got in my back pocket here. So let's jump into segment number one. While I was very high on OU's defense after Saturday's performance and was feeling much more comfortable about Kyler Murray being able to throw the ball, although I wasn't all that worried about it going in to game number one with Florida Atlantic, and I knew OU's run game was going to be good, and not missing Charleston Rambo wasn't going to be that big a deal. OU, for the most part, just destroyed Florida Atlantic. I wasn't expecting that, but I also think our expectations got a little bit tapered because Florida Atlantic was not near the challenge we were expecting them to be. And so what we have to decipher is whether or not Florida Atlantic just wasn't as good as they were supposed to be. And this was a team, remember last year, that went 11-3. So it's not a slouch team, even if it's not a Power 5 team. They did win 11 games. So how much was a drop-off for Florida Atlantic, who was only returning five starters on defense? How much of it was OU being better? Well, to listen to Lincoln Riley and Mike Stoops tell it, they certainly didn't sound like they were on the side of OU being better and ready to compete for a national championship.
Like a lot of first games, there were some really exciting things to see. You know, I like the energy effort that we played with. The enthusiasm was really, really good. Mentality, a really nice start there. It's never as good as you think it is in a game like that, and the film proved that true. You go back and there's a million things that we got to do better. Coaching wise, players got to do better. Guys are going to have to grow. Very typical for the first game, but obviously a lot of really good stuff too. So I think it was a pretty good start. So excited about that. And like I said, we're not going to be defined by that game. We're going to be defined by how we continue to improve as a team, and if we'll continue to grow, if we can stay healthy, the mentality on this team can continue to develop. Then we could have a successful year. So excited. Excited for the team and the opportunities ahead.
There was a lot of mistakes in the game that we were able to cover up by playing hard. And that, to me, was, what we talked about. I thought our guys ran to the football well. They covered up some mistakes of one another, and that's what happens when you play hard. So that was a good sign. We had some guys play well, but we had some other guys that didn't play so well. So I think there's a lot that we can get better at, that's for sure. And we'll have a chance to do that this week against, I know it'll be a well-coached UCLA team.
Another temp.
Maybe a little dramatic with that last statement, but at the same time, I really feel like these coaches are probably more just trying to get kids focused, making sure they're focused. Obviously, we don't know exactly everything they have told the players, either individually or as a group. But you get the feeling that Lincoln Riley wants to keep these guys back down to earth. The whole coaching cliche is, don't get too high, don't get too low. Keep it even keel. And that's what he wants them to do as they get ready to go in and play this game against UCLA, which by all accounts should be pretty close to the same results that we saw on Saturday, because UCLA is going through much of the same issues that Florida Atlantic is. And even though they may have better athletes, the question is how well can UCLA execute when they don't know who their quarterback is and everybody's trying to adjust to this new Chip Kelly offense that's been installed? By the way, interesting fact, UCLA ran the ball 89% this past week against Cincinnati. It's not really indicative of what a Chip Kelly offense is, so I think that goes very far into telling you how much confidence Chip Kelly has in his quarterbacks as far as them being able to have command of the offense. The other thing that we learned over the last couple of days is that there's still a lot of questions to answer with OU, especially since Addison Gums is out. We believe that OU should just be able to plug Caleb Kelly in, move him to the outside, and that's it. What we don't take into consideration, as Mike Stoops is going to point out, is that what Caleb Kelly wants, and how does it affect the other guys on the team who have been busting their butt at these other positions?
Yeah, it's something that we have to look at here, probably after this game, and see how that, how our team's affected by having one of those guys on the sideline. That's something that always you always think about as coaches, trying to get your best 11. So that's something for us to, really consider. And but it's going to hurt his overall development at the other position. So he needs a lot of reps at that position to get to where he wants to get to. So it's a tough call, and it's one that we'll certainly look at here in the next week or so.
I'm sorry, I guess my question was, in the spring, could you
positions if you didn't have Curtis to play that spot as well?
Well, there's always things that go into why we move a player, long-term effects of players, what they their ceilings at positions. So there's a lot that you look at. Who's going to be there? Are they going to be here? Are they going to be gone? You know, we certainly have to look at how that player affects each individual position and what we have at the other position. So our ability to play nickel has become more, you know, more of a part of what we're doing. So those are all things that you have to really look at.
What we have gotten used to, especially this year at OU, is you've seen a lot of guys move around on defense, whether it's Kenneth Mann or whether it's a guy like Jordan Parker who has gone from corner to safety. We just feel like guys should be able to do it for the good of the team. Consequences be damned for the people that have been working at that position and have earned the right to play there, and consequences be damned for the player who may not want to make the adjustment, one, because they're not comfortable doing it, and two, they feel like they are a better fit for a particular position. And it almost sounded like when you listen to Mike Stoops there, Caleb Kelly was more comfortable and desired more to play that middle linebacker spot than an outside linebacker spot. Whether he feels like he's got a better chance to succeed at middle linebacker in the NFL or it's just not in his comfort zone. And putting this in ways that we can sort of relate, think about your job. Okay, especially if you work for a large corporation, you're always asked to do stuff for the good of the company. But maybe you're not as good at a particular job, or there's another job you want, but the boss doesn't see you for that fit, and the boss doesn't see you as a fit for that particular job, so it takes some coercing on his part to get you to come around and do what he wants and needs you to do. And you've also got to come to grips with it yourself that you're going to get outside your comfort zone. And I'll admit, I don't do that very well, especially in a talk show setting. I have an idea of the way I want things to go. I have an idea of the way how I want to approach topics and talk about them. And when maybe my program director or a co-host or somebody comes with another idea, sometimes it's hard for me to buy in just because it's like, I'm not really comfortable about that. That's more of an X's and O's thing. That's what an ex-player does. I try and make it more of a human type story, which essentially is a crutch to fall back on, but it's just the way that I operate. And I think that there's a lot of you out there that operate that way as well. So Mike Stoops, if he's going to make this move, and in a sense, it sounds like he's going to make that move, putting Caleb Kelly at outside linebacker, still has to take so much into consideration that it's just not a simple matter of, Caleb, you're moving here, everybody else, you deal with the consequences. No, you gotta play psychologist, especially now in the day and age of transfer. You've got to do the same thing that Lincoln Riley's doing with Austin Kendall and every other quarterback on campus, is continually recruit kids and tell them that they're going to have a place here at OU. Back to the redemption story for Mike Stoops. I wrote about that on OU Insider, and I would appreciate it if you read that article, or I appreciate it if you did and would read that article. Few comments on it, and one guy says, hey, we don't need to get too excited, and I'm sorry I'm not giving him credit, because we didn't see Kenneth Murray in the stat sheet. Well, one, I don't like to look at stats as telling the whole story, because is a guy doing dirty work, or there things that we're not really watching that he's doing, and what is the reason he's not making tackles? You know, how much of it is his fault, just not playing well? How much of it is just what's being dictated by the game? Well, this guy will be happy to know that Mike Stoops agrees with him about Kenneth Murray and thinks that he should be able to play better against UCLA.
He could play better and to communicate well. We had some missed calls, missed assignments throughout the course of the game Saturday, but 90 some percent was good in the communication part. So we get that from our offense pretty much daily. So we should be well equipped to handle it.
Mike, how did Kenneth Murray play Saturday?
He played okay. He could play better, and you know, he didn't get a lot of action, but there's a couple things he could have done. you know, you just got to keep moving forward, and he's going to get a lot of opportunities this week, and I think he's really focused. Had two good days this week, so we need him to he can play better, and he will play better this week.
I assume you'd like to see him have some tackles, but defensive line played well. Maybe he would have had some.
Some plays just weren't there. There's a lot of guys running around. There's a lot of perimeter plays. I thought that's what you saw from when you really looked at the game. The game was going east and west once they figured out it was going to be hard to run up inside. So the game became a very lateral game. So it wasn't a real downhill game, but there's still some things I feel like we got to be more physical in certain areas across the board, and in particular the middle part of our defense.
So there you go. An NCAA one coach agrees with you, which I think as a fan, that's probably one of the coolest things you can have happen, because one, it solidifies what you know about the game of football or what you're thinking about the game of football, and two, it just feels good. You can go around bragging to your friends. Look, I said this on a message board, and Mike Stoops agrees with me. That's social cachet that you can't get from listening to a talk show host, or you can't get it when a talk show host agrees with you. Only a coach or a player can give you that kind of confidence. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. Coming up next, what Curtis Bolton had to say about his relationship with Mike Stoops. You're not going to want to miss that. That's coming up next on LOS.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
Yesterday's show did not get out as soon as I wanted it to get out, and that happens a lot just through busy schedule, dealing with kids, doing the job, doing Locked On Thunder. Sometimes things get pushed back further on both podcasts, and I'm not exactly okay with that, because having come from a pseudo-journalism background, I always kind of feel like there's a deadline and you're being pushed. That being said, the great thing about podcasting, either being a podcaster or a listener of podcasts, is that my goal is just for you to get it in your queue and for you to listen whenever you want. I never put out a podcast thinking, wow, man, you're gonna listen to this as soon as it comes out. No, you've got a busy life. You've got kids to take care of. You're going to class. You're going to work. You're doing things around the house for your wife or your husband. So whenever you listen, I'm very thankful. It's an on-demand world, and hopefully you're using Locked On Sooners for an on-demand world. So if it's the day that it comes out, if it's the day before the game, day of the game, 2 weeks later, anytime you're listening to this show, thank you very much. I would also be very appreciative if not only would you listen to this show, but Locked On Thunder, which coming up later today, we're going to talk about whether or not Russell Westbrook would be a good guest on LeBron James' show, The Shop. I definitely have some ideas on that. And I would also like you to listen to all the other Locked On podcasts that we have at LockedOnSports.com, which cover the NBA, NFL, and college sports. Yesterday, defensive media availability for OU, which we got a lot out of, not only about the upcoming game with UCLA, but we got a little insight into the relationship with Curtis Bolton and Mike Stoops. And all this came about, and I got to give Kerry Murdoch of Soonerscoop.com a lot of credit on this, because Mike Stoops was asked about Curtis Bolton in the press conference, and he had this reaction that Curtis is an interesting cat. And I'm paraphrasing here, and he kind of laughed about it. So Kerry asked Curtis about his relationship with Mike Stoops, and here's what Curtis Bolton had to say.
Me and Coach Stoops, it is an interesting relationship. In my younger years, I needed a lot of time to mature, and I needed a lot of time to build my consistency. And I think A lot of times in my younger years, he was frustrated because I felt like he could see what I could become, but I wasn't becoming all that I could be, and that was something I needed to grow up and realize, and that's kind of been my main focus in the last 2 years. And I think over the last few years, we built it up. I think he understands where I'm at as a person. I'm trying to understand where he at, because you know, he's crazy. You always see him jumping around, wiggling, kind of freaking out all the time. But it's tough being a D coordinator. You got to think about all 11 positions on the field, and if I can, and I'm just trying to play sound football. So at the end of the day, he knows that if there's one position he can count on, it's the Will Lampa.
Is that a situation where you're now maybe you're trying to impress him, or you're trying to, I don't know, make him happy? I mean, whereas you saw him as a guy that was always on your case in the past.
Not so much. I'm not out here trying to impress him. He puts the game plan out. That's our leader. That's our captain. That's our general. It's my role as a soldier to go out there and implement that game plan to the best of my ability. I don't think it's so much of me trying to prove myself to Coach Mike. I think Coach Mike has understood for a long time. I think Coach Mike just wants the best out of his players. And he's really adamant about it. And sometimes I didn't see it like that. But again, that's where our coaching staff does a really good job of sitting you down outside of football. And that's why I say our coaching staff's so good. It's not the game plans. It's the how they care for you as a person. They care for you as a man. That's where they do a good job of sitting us down to make sure we're on the same page. There's not unnecessary tension, if that makes sense.
So there's more of a positive relationship there now than
yeah.
In the past.
You know, in our younger years, we had some issues, and like I said, I fall back on. That's where I did a bad job of maturing up. I was young, didn't handle everything. I would shut down. I would get pissed off, and that's where I went wrong. And that's where our coaching staff did a good job throughout the years, just making sure I was in the right state of mind. Even though I wasn't a guy that was playing a lot, they always made me feel a part of things. They always made me feel like I could get better, and I've always had a shot. So and basically when I got my shot and I could make the best of it, that's what happened.
Curtis Bolton has been around a while in this program. And he's gone through some injuries amongst some other things, and he's hung around and he's stuck it out. And now not only is he making a contribution to this team, but he's a starter on this team. And he was able to beat out a 5-star recruit in Caleb Kelly to earn that Will linebacker spot, which says a lot about his intestinal fortitude and just how dedicated he is to the game and how much he wants to be at OU. It's the other thing on Saturday I thought was great about Curtis Bolton, which you can go back and visit this one on our YouTube page. Just go to YouTube and then search Locked On Sooners, but look for the Saturday game day film or the Saturday game day interview with Curtis Bolton, and he's wearing a minor league baseball hat, which you can kind of figure it out from there. But Curtis Bolton talked about playing at OU and being a part of the history and how much history there was. And he didn't grow up an OU fan, but now he embraces it. When you talk about that relationship with Mike Stoops, I always think of college relationships with players or coaches' relationships with players in college are much like relationships at the NFL level, much like relationships at the NBA level, where it's essentially, you might be friends, you might get along, you might have the opportunity to get to know one another, but essentially it comes down to this. Every decision that coach makes is a business decision. Every decision you make as a player is a business decision. And ultimately, you guys are going to do what is best for yourselves because you just have to. I mean, the cold, hard facts about sports are, and this is something Kevin Durant was right on, is that you have to play for yourself, be it at a big-time university or inside a professional franchise. Ultimately, you can get your scholarship taken away at any time. You can get cut at any time. So do what's best for you. You do you. And I don't blame any athlete for doing that. But this gave more of a human side to Mike Stoops and more of a human side to Curtis Bolton, where if it's not a father-son or uncle-nephew type relation, it's at least friends. And maybe Mike Stoops is a little bit of that older brother role where, look, I'm going to be hard on you. I want you to do your best. I want you to succeed. But ultimately, you've got a level to reach. And if you can't reach that level, I don't have any use for you. And when you have that respect for a particular person, and you probably deal with this at work, and you probably dealt with it as a son, and your son's probably dealing with it now with a father, where if you've got somebody you admire and respect deeply, you're going to do everything you can to go out of your way to please them. And that's what I got from Curtis Bolton yesterday, is maybe it's not exactly always been the best of relationships. It's been rocky at times, but ultimately Curtis Bolton is going to do everything he can to make Mike Stoops happy. And ultimately Mike Stoops is not only happy with the results that Curtis Bolton has given him, but he's also happy with who Curtis Bolton has become as a player. And I thought that was pretty cool. I know that was some great insight that you don't normally get, because it is such a meat grinder in college football. And we don't think about that a lot, or actually we think about it, but we really play into it as fans and as members of the media, because it's very easy for us to say, hey, that guy's not doing his job, get him out of there. And there's some deep psychological reasons as to why we do that, but that's how we look at it. You're not performing, you're not good enough for the team, make the change. And sometimes, as we heard in segment number one, those changes aren't as easy for coach, and it's not always easy for a player to go through them as well. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am Eric G. Coming up in segment number three, what did Mike Stoops have to say about his relationship with Chip Kelly, and who are the guys to be on the lookout for in this game with UCLA? It's all next here on Locked On Sooners.
This is Locked On Sooners, your team every day.
All our Locked On podcasts are available at Alexa, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, and at LockedOnSports.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Give us 5-star ratings. It's local experts talking about the biggest stories, and you can find them and subscribe, and you're going to get a local take on everything. And hopefully, you sort of get some insight into what the city is, as well as the teams that you're listening about. So if you are listening, like if you're not an OU fan, I try and bring you inside the mentality of what an OU fan is and exactly what Norman is like on game day. I try and do all that at some point during the podcast. And if I don't do it every show, I try and do it throughout the week. And maybe we discuss game day rituals a little bit more on tomorrow's podcast. But hey, listen to the Locked On Podcast Network. They've been very good to me. And listen to Locked On Thunder later today when I talk about the word GOAT being added to Webster's Dictionary and why they may have gotten that definition wrong. Well, not the definition, but why they got the example wrong. And we'll discuss that. And yes, it all ultimately ends up leading back to Russell Westbrook. So three players to watch this Saturday as UCLA comes into town to play against OU. And my first one is a kid who had a 74-yard run and a 23-yard run, rushed for, I think, over 150 yards this past week against Cincinnati. It's Kazmir Allen. He's a freshman running back, 5'8", 175 pounds. Obviously, that tells you he's a speedster, and I kind of wonder if he can take the physical pounding that OU's going to give UCLA on Saturday. If they play anything like they did against FAU, then we know the OU defense is going to be physical. We're looking for that. Another guy at running back who was the star last year and didn't have many carries this past week, and that's Bolu Olorun for me. Not only because I like saying his name, Bolu Olorun for me, which I usually mispronounce, but 5'10", 220 pounds, senior, tough runner. And if Kazmir Allen can't take the pounding, maybe he can. Maybe Joshua Kelly, who's 5'11", 204, can as well. But those are just two players with a little third thrown in there. And then finally, Jalen Phillips, the 6'5", 245-pound sophomore at outside linebacker, could be hell. Got to keep that guy quiet and make sure that obviously he stays off Kyler Murray. And then finally, this is more of a hope than anything, or a wish, or whatever, but this is the guy I want to see play quarterback, and that is Devin Monster, who was a sophomore at UCLA, was a four-star recruit coming out of high school. He was rated he was rated the number 13th pro-style quarterback coming out of in the nation, number 43 in California, the number 43 prospect overall, nationally 306. Only played in three games last year, didn't really have a chance to show what he's all about, but you have a feeling that he's way more of the future of UCLA than either Wilton Spate or the other guy that they threw out there on Saturday, whose name is escaping me right now, and let me pull that one up. Yes, Dorian Thompson Robinson. And I didn't get to see enough of Wilton Spate to really judge him on Saturday, but Thompson Robinson didn't impress me all that much. Actually, UCLA as a whole didn't impress all that much. But those are some guys to look out for on Saturday. And you have to remember, Mike Stoops, as much as we dog him out for what he has done or not done since he's come back to OU, this is a guy that went from being head coach back to being a coordinator. Whether that's his comfort zone or not, I don't know. I don't know if Mike Stoops would like to be a head coach again, but during the time he was at Arizona, he did have a chance to build up a relationship with Chip Kelly, and here's what he had to say about it yesterday.
You know, we played when I was at Arizona, went back and looked at some things, and I looked at, you got to look at Philadelphia and San Francisco, and he's adapted as he's, you know, moved place the last two or three places. I think you have to adapt to your players and to the quarterback and do what they do. And he's had a whole slew of different prototypical, non-prototypical. This kid's a great athlete and a great thrower. So, again, I think that he has a lot of offense that can fit, you know, each particular team. And he can come at you a variety of different ways. When you look at all of that, there's a big body of work. And there's a lot to defend.
Did you all get to know each other at all from your time?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Chip's been very good to me, and he's an awesome guy and a terrific coach. And, he was a great friend during my time, even though we had great battles with Oregon when he was there and I was at Arizona. So it was fun.
I know Bob had a relationship with him, I think.
What I've always wondered about the relationship with coaches, is it much easier to be friendly with somebody you beat on a regular basis because you don't see that guy as a threat versus being friends with a guy that you compete with or are pretty close to week in, week out? Notice that when coaches start talking highly about another coach and how great a job he's done, it's usually a coach that they beat on a regular basis. And it's not to say that you don't know about what a struggle that another guy is going through or what his program is like, but it almost seems like there's some ulterior motive about wanting to keep a guy there longer because you know you've got that program under control because that guy's in charge and he's never going to be any threat to you. Also, let's talk real quick about this Chip Kelly offense, and here's Parnell Motley talking about the challenges of taking on a Chip Kelly team.
I'm definitely looking for a challenge like this. I used to watch this guy in the national championship games, and now I'm going to get some. Going to get some Saturday. So great to see a great guy like Chip Kelly to try to come to Norman, Oklahoma, and play some great ball. And can't wait to go off with have a good time with his team and compete against him.
So that's an offense that you watched a lot of growing up.
Yes, definitely with Oregon. Great things he had over there. So it's definitely an offense I watched growing up and how he transferred it to the NFL. So that's great emphasis on Coach Chip Kelly and how he coached and how things go for him.
What stands out to you about their offense and what they do?
About what they do, I think they're a good tempo offense, and it's kind of slowed down compared to the other offenses we go to. You kind of bring like this NFL strategies over back to the college level. So it's good to see some things like that and line up to it and see what we can do with it.
Last week, it was not Chip Kelly. I don't expect it to be Chip Kelly this season, Most likely, it'll take about a year for things to turn around, and you may even see changes at quarterback in order for that offense to run the way that Chip Kelly's going to want it to run. I think he will have success at UCLA. As a matter of fact, it's hard to imagine Chip Kelly not having a tremendous amount of success at a college level. But Chip Kelly is going to be fighting the USC monster at some point, because as soon as UCLA gets good and perceived to be a threat, then USC is going to make its adjustments, and that never goes well for UCLA. I also, when I think about this, I don't ever see anybody, not even Chip Kelly, being able to turn UCLA into a powerhouse, and I don't see Chip Kelly having the same kind of success at UCLA as he did at Oregon. He'll succeed at a high level, but there's a ceiling. There's a ceiling at UCLA, and I fully expect that once Chip Kelly maybe has a year where UCLA makes the playoffs or they're very close to winning a Pac-12 championship, I can see him leaving and going off for a better job. Maybe the West Coast suits him, but I don't see him being there for the long haul at UCLA. And finally today, it is Lincoln Riley's birthday. You know he's going to celebrate. Well, maybe. Maybe he's going to celebrate some. This guy's got a game to prepare for on Saturday, and his birthday is right at the beginning of football season. So if he's not going to celebrate, you should. You should go out and enjoy yourself. And my suggestion to you is this. Go to Louie's on Campus Corner down in Norman. Maybe my friend BK's there. Maybe he's not. But go to Louie's down on Campus Corner and ask for a mule shoe. I have no idea what's in a mule shoe. I have no idea if this drink even exists. But go down to Louie's, ask for a mule shoe, and whatever drink they make you, take it. I would expect that if you were going to concoct something called a mule shoe, it would definitely have whiskey in it. Beyond that, I'm not sure what else you would pour into that drink, but that's how I think you should go celebrate Lincoln Riley's birthday today. And let's hope that Lincoln Riley has a happy birthday and then on Saturday delivers a win against UCLA. Tomorrow, we are going to talk we're going to visit with Parnell Motley again tomorrow. Or actually, we'll play some audio from Parnell Motley. I made it sound like he was going to be with us here one-on-one. But we'll play some audio from Parnell Motley tomorrow. And he will talk about the rule changes that are helping out defensive backs. So something I didn't know, learned yesterday. I'm going to look over the rule one more time to see if I can try and explain it. But Parnell Motley tomorrow on that, and who else will we hear from tomorrow? Lincoln Riley, we'll hear from Mike Stoops again, and most likely, we're going to hear from Bobby Evans talking about the offensive line play. So all that's coming up tomorrow on Locked On Sooners. And until tomorrow, everybody love everybody. Peace and love to you and your family, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcasts Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.